Well, the first thing that happened on the very first day, Whitsun 1549, of its first use, is that there was a rebellion. In terms of the prayer book part, one would say it was concentrated in Devon and Cornwall. It was a very, very big and very immediate kind of popular upswell of feeling. And it was also repressed very, very savagely by the Edwardian government, and several thousand people, probably about 4,000 people, were killed in those riots and rebellions. It certainly puts our modern 2011 version in something of a context, when we realise both the level of popular outrage and the lengths to which government was prepared to go in suppressing such things. It remained a contentious object throughout the next century and a half, and the most obvious examples of that, I suppose, would be first in 1553, when Queen Mary came to the throne, that the book was abolished and was replaced again by Latin mass books. And then in 1558 it could have gone either way, but the Book of Common Prayer became the material object which announces the fact that England is going to carry on being, or is going to return to being a Protestant nation again. The Act of Uniformity, which is an act of Parliament to formalise the official religion of the country, is embodied in this book. It's not just simply an accidental relationship. The Act of Uniformity says, this is the book that's going to be used for religious purposes. Many Protestants in Elizabethan England, never mind Catholics, were hugely disturbed by this, felt it was the wrong kind of book, that it was too full of old Catholic ritual, and that it might be misappropriated and misused by people in order to be secretly Catholic, even if they were publicly Protestant. There were attempts to replace it with other kinds of book throughout the late 16th century, and there were also deep arguments about how the book should be performed, where the communion table should be, how people should stand in relation to it, when they should kneel, what clothes the priest should wear. All of these things were felt to have huge symbolic importance. In the 17th century, the Civil War is, of course, mainly in the end to do with the rule of King Charles and the relationship with Parliament. But many of the radicals in Parliament were motivated by their opposition, not just to the king, but to bishops, to rule of Christian life by bishops. And the rule of bishops was embodied again in the Book of Common Prayer quite directly. You could only perform the rituals in the Book of Common Prayer if you were a priest, and a priest had to be ordained by a bishop. And even the procedures for ordaining priests and for consecrating bishops are there in the Book of Common Prayer as well. So in 1645, as well as executing Archbishop William Laud, Parliament banned the Book of Common Prayer as an absolutely prime signal of its seriousness in terms of taking on royal power and how it was manifested. This is, you know, that's several years before anybody thought about executing the king, never mind replacing him with a semi-republican form of government for 10 years. Getting rid of the prayer book was actually higher on the list of priorities than what you would do with the king. People, there were lots of radicals who felt they could happily have the king as king as long as it was not ruled by the religion of the Book of Common Prayer. Similarly, when the book was introduced in other parts of the developing British Empire, as it came to be known, say the Union of England and Scotland through James I, there was no Book of Common Prayer north of the border. The religion was Presbyterian north of the border. And when King Charles tried to introduce the Book of Common Prayer, there's a famous story of the minister having a stool thrown at him by a young Scotswoman in the church of the Kirk of St Giles on the Royal Mile. That's a sign of how, again, just the physical use of this book, even just the appearance of the book, was a source of controversy and sometimes of violent conflict.